Well, then, I hope that you are enjoying the webinar so far. Up next is a special friend and a special guest on tonight's webinar. It's Josh LeBlanc from the CatholicUnderground.com podcasting network. But before we do, I just want to remind you that we are 16% of our goal set for tonight of $1,000. And we can do this, men. We can do this with you and all of us together, pitching in whatever we can. We can do this. A neighbor of mine, a friend, a close friend who came to the baptism of my son today, my brand new baby boy, Daniel Jude, he made sure he offered up a donation today too. This is a great opportunity to support a unique men's outreach. It's called the Amator Institute. And you can find out more information about that at www.fatherchavez.com. And that's spelled out, fatherchavez.com, to learn more about the Amator Institute. So be sure to do that today. We must reach our goal of $1,000 tonight. So please, do me a favor. And while right now, take 2 seconds and tweet this. Tweet this to all of your contacts. Put it up on Plurk, Facebook, Four Marks, you name it, on your blog. Call your neighbor. Let them know that tonight we're doing a live men's webinar on the Catholic Hack channel at CatholicHack.com is where you can find out more information about that. So please, step up today, right now, and help us out. As I said, Josh LeBlanc is up next. He's going to be talking about internet pornography. Josh is the co-founder and president of CyberCatholics.com, a 100% Catholic web hosting service. He is also the mind behind the annual Catholic Blog Awards. Joshua is married and currently works in the information technology field in Lafayette, Louisiana. He holds a Bachelor of Arts degree in philosophy and liberal arts from St. Joseph's Seminary and College in Covington, Louisiana, and is currently a candidate for the Master of Arts degree in theology and Christian ministry from Franciscan University of Steubenville, Ohio. Joshua also freelances as a speaker and writer on various Catholic issues and subjects, and co-hosts a weekly live television show called Champions of Truth, which airs in Lafayette, Louisiana. He also co-hosts a show called Finding Your Keys with Radio Maria in Lake Charles, Louisiana, as well as he is a regular contributor and panelist on CatholicUnderground.com podcast, which is how most of us know and love Josh LeBlanc. He is a unique guy, and he's going to bring a lot to the table of the discussion of internet pornography. And so I hope you enjoy that today. So without further ado, let's all welcome Joshua LeBlanc.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome. Thank you for joining us again for this webinar that is dedicated to bringing information about the Amator Institute. And don't forget, again, to go to the website and check the Amator Institute out and make a donation to Father Chavez's ministry. Unless you've been living in a cave for the past 15, 20 years, everyone out there knows what a computer is. Everyone knows what the internet is. It wasn't invented by Al Gore, unlike some people claim it may be. But we're familiar with the internet. We're familiar with how good the internet can be. In our modern times, never has the cause for evangelization been so great with the use of the internet. Specifically, within the past few years, we see things like encyclicals of our Holy Fathers, John Paul II and Pope Benedict XVI, being able to be disseminated so quickly to the world through the use of new media. We've also seen how we can have great gatherings, such as the World Youth Day in Germany and Australia and all of those places, being able to be brought to us over the internet and television. We're all thankful, of course, for networks like EWTN, which broadcast Catholic television. But everyone knows that whenever something good is given to us, anytime there is a great good that is presented and that comes from God Himself, Satan will use this tool. He will perverse it in order to please himself and to bring about the ruin of mankind. And gentlemen, I tell you that there is nothing more threatening to manliness, to masculinity today, than the blatant use of internet pornography. If you've ever heard Father Bill Casey, who is the Superior General of the Fathers of Mercy, he gives a talk that's entitled Television as Being the Devil's Trojan Horse. And certainly I believe this is true. But I believe it to have been more true, say, circa 1980s, 1990s, with the dissemination of HBO and some of these pay-per-view channels where you could get on-demand pornography on your television in your home. But today, gentlemen, we have a new Trojan horse that is placed in the homes of all of us every day. Every one of us who owns a computer. The internet is the new devil's Trojan horse. And to whom much has been given, much responsibility will be required. And the Lord has given us much with the use of technology. But let's talk a little bit about some of the pitfalls of this. It is a Trojan horse in the sense that when you look at how television disseminates information to people, it's simply throwing it at you over a screen. We have in our own time something much more damning, men. We have something which allows us to go on the internet, which allows us to get it on demand 24/7, 365 days a year. And some estimates show that male addiction to internet pornography is as high as 50, if not more, 60%. Okay, among those individuals who claim to be Christian. Whenever I talk about this and speak with priests who tell me, who have been priests for 50, 30, 40, 50 years, they tell me you would not believe the number of men who come into the confessional within the past 20 years with this problem. Many priests tell me it is the most confessed sin that they hear today. And so we certainly see that it's not something minor, that it is something that we really have to pay attention to. The Catechism of the Catholic Church speaks about this and gives three reasons why pornography is wrong and sinful. And what I want to do is begin by looking at these first three reasons, because we know that pornography is so readily available. Back in the day, you had to go into a store and purchase pornography. You had to, your face had to be seen. Now it's very anonymous. And we know some things can be good anonymous, such as the sacrament of confession. But anonymous sin just allows us to more easily fall into these problems. And because it is so readily available to us, I think that is the reason so many men have indulged in it in our modern times. But the Catechism says first that pornography offends against the virtue of chastity. What is the virtue of chastity? What most people don't realize is that all of us are called to chastity. Chastity, by definition, is simply the living out of our sexuality in our current state of life. So for those of us who are single, that means refraining from sexual activity. For those of us who are married, that means only engaging in sexual activity with our spouse. Okay, and for those who are consecrated religious, and also those who have been called to holy orders, priests and deacons and bishops, for those individuals, for example, priests and deacons take a vow of celibacy. And so for them, they are called, since they are not married, to not engage in sexual relations. And so first of all, pornography offends this call to chastity because it is directly meant for us as men to call us and distract us from where we are to place our attention. For those who are priests and religious, it is to place God as our focus and attention. Hence the reason they voluntarily give up the good of having a family. For those of us who are married, this pornography harms us in the way of destroying our relationship with our spouses, though we may not see it. It is a direct offense against the sacrament of marriage. So that is the first part. Respect for marriage. Let's talk about this really quickly. Respect for marriage and its conjugal love is not simply limited to a physical expression. No, there is a spiritual dimension. So the sacrament of marriage, let's look at this. It's not simply about the sexual, physical uniting with our spouse. No, it is about a spiritual uniting with our spouse as well. And some people will immediately say, well, when I engage in the use of pornography over the internet, who am I harming? I'm not harming anyone but myself. And that seems to be true on the surface. It does. But let us remember that every sin affects the entire human body. It affects the entire body of Christ. And so immediately, whenever we commit the sin of internet pornography and the viewing of pornography, which is often accustomed with masturbation, it is no secret that that's where that ultimately leads. It is a refusal of man to sacrifice of himself for his bride. Let's look at secondly, that pornography offends the dignity of those who participate in such a thing. Well, what does that mean? Well, first of all, as human beings, remember we are called to respect each other as sons and daughters of God. And whenever we decide to engage in the viewing of internet pornography, we we annihilate the respect that is given to the human person. We take a woman who is God's fairer creature, fairest of all of his creation, I would argue. We take this woman and instead of doing what Adam was called to do in the garden, if you remember, he was called to protect his bride from the serpent. And so often today, through the use of internet pornography, we as men are so quickly to take our brides and throw her under the bus for our self-gratification, for what we want. It is the ultimate act of selfishness. Because what we do is we place before us that which we consider important at that very moment. Instead of considering our bride and considering our spouse, no, we in turn place ourselves and our needs above them. And while this is incredibly, I think, difficult for men, because we know as men that we are visual creatures, it is no secret that God made women beautiful. He did so with something very important in mind, so that we would be attracted to women, so that we would want to be with women, to continue the human race and to bond with that woman. But just as God has made other things pleasurable, such as enjoying maybe a nice dinner, that doesn't mean that you overindulge in that dinner. That doesn't mean you eat when you're not hungry. No, rather, we are to control our appetites, not only with regards to moderation of other things, but with regard to the sexual appetite. And while it's not always easy, we have our Lord Jesus Christ as a model for us on what we are to do as men. Remember that the viewing of internet pornography, we take and we place ourselves above our bride. Jesus Christ said, husbands, love your wives, okay, as Christ loved the church, Scripture tells us. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Remember that love is not simply, again, a physical manifestation. There is a spiritual dimension. And Christ's spiritual love for the church brought him to give himself freely for her. And how did he do that? By extending his arms on a cross. By dying for her. And that's what we are called, gentlemen, to do for our brides. We are called to love them and, if necessary, to die for them. Going back really quickly, talking again about Adam in the Garden of Eden. The thing that Adam did, the very first thing, mistake he made, was not the eating of the fruit. It was the allowing the serpent to enter the garden to begin with. That is where he made his fatal mistake. And Adam, that fatal mistake, ultimately leads to the eating of the fruit, which brings about our downfall in humanity and brings original sin into the world. In our own time, lots of men are freely allowing pornography to come into their homes, and not only are they allowing the serpent in, they click on these links and open these web browsers and invite him in. We've gone from Adam's sin of omission, from not allowing the serpent in, by allowing the serpent in, to our sin of commission. Not only do we freely let the serpent come in, we have invited him and we have sought him out. And so what does it really mean to be a man? Let's look quickly at Bishop Robert Finn. In February of 2007, he's the bishop of the Diocese of Kansas City, St. Joseph, issued a pastoral letter on the dignity of the human person and the dangers of pornography. And he says some very prophetic things. And let's look at this really quickly. He says, pornography is never innocent entertainment, no matter how private it may seem. It turns human beings into objects. It coarsens our appetites. It darkens our ability to see real human beauty. It creates impossible expectations about sexual intimacy. It kills enduring romance and friendship between the sexes, and ultimately it's a lie and a cheat. Pornography is a cheap, quick, empty copy of the real thing. The real joy of sexual intimacy shared by a man and woman who have joined their lives in loving marriage. This is no statement that is new to us from the magisterium of the church. We know that ultimately it is pornography in this country, I'm convinced, that is killing so many marriages. Men go out and they seek this pleasure for themselves. And what happens is that women are turned from individuals who we are meant to get to heaven, who we are supposed to live our lives trying to get their souls to heaven. What happens is they are turned into objects for our own gratification. And anytime you start taking something for granted, you start having a twist in how you view the dignity of that very thing. And so what happens in internet pornography is the dignity of the human person is completely destroyed. We start viewing women as objects to fill every want and whim and desire and need we may feel at that very moment, rather than our partners in this life who are meant to be our companions to allow us to enter into heavenly eternity. Pope Paul VI also predicted this rampant abuse of internet pornography in Humanae Vitae, chapter in paragraph 22, due to contraception, he said, everything in the modern media of social communications which leads to sense, excitation, and unbridled customs, as well as every form of pornography and licentious performance, must arouse the frank and unanimous reaction of all those who are solicitous for the progress of civilization and the defense of the common good of the human spirit. Vainly would one seek to justify such deprivation and the pretext of artistic or scientific exigencies, or to deduce an argument from the freedom allowed in this sector by public authorities. Let's not kid ourselves. Pornography is so readily available that all it takes is to go online and do a quick Google search, and one could be presented with hundreds of thousands of internet pornography in a matter of seconds. It is said that there are now over 40 million individuals who are visiting pornographic websites on a daily basis. 4.2 million websites on the internet, and this number is increasing daily, gentlemen, are focused on pornography. Driving in to Houston to come and speak at this conference, I can't tell you the number of signs and places I saw advertising gentlemen's quote-unquote clubs, not to mention cabarets and video stores and the whatnot. It is all over. We are being inundated. And we have to, first of all, guard our senses. Because as Father Chavez said earlier, quoting that famous verse from 2 Peter, who cautions us to be ready and to be alert, because the devil is growling like a roaring lion, ready to devour us. And St. Peter says, resist him, solid in your faith. We as men, the devil knows that we are easily tempted by the enticement of women. And surely that the beauty of woman is good. Hence the reason the devil takes and he perverts that. Nothing is more hurtful and more displeasing to God than whenever that which he has created is good is twisted, and what is twisted and made to be unholy. And so the devil attacks us constantly. And how does he do this? He does this by allowing legislatures to protect pornography as a First Amendment right to free speech. It allows, recently in the Netherlands, there was a talk of a local university, local government, which was keeping copies of child pornography, the ultimate offense, keeping copies of child pornography in public libraries there because the law required them to keep copies of everything ever published in that country. And how sad it is that not only is this permitted, but we are in those countries, those individuals whose tax dollars are being used to assist in this ultimate degradation of the human person. Let's talk a little bit about, again, some of these statistics. 4.2 million websites on the internet are pornographic. That's 12% total of all websites. No other website grouping has so many websites that are out there. The daily emails that are sent that are pornographic are 2.5 billion. Let's talk a little bit about this regards to men. Statistics are showing that men who admit to accessing internet pornography at work is as high as 20%. I can't even imagine what they're doing at home. U.S. adults who visit pornographic websites has risen to 40 million. Adults who admit to internet sexual addiction, 10%. Personally, I believe this is much higher, but they get 10% of individuals to admit to this. And while we know this is a male problem, that there males struggle with this, to be shown Promise Keepers, who, if you're familiar with it, is a group of Christian men who are primarily dedicated to protecting the family, did a survey of its own members. And they found that 53% of their men viewed pornography within the last week. So this is a problem which stretches beyond religious boundaries and affects all of humanity. Why? All men. Because we have been lied to about what it means to be a man. We are told growing up, when you look at the secular world, it says if you want to be a man, you treat women badly, that you swear, you drink, that you leave your children, that you live as you wish to live. And so it is no surprise that boys who are inundated with this ideology, who are told that this is what it means to be a man, that it means to degrade women, as you've heard earlier in Joe's testimony. It means for some to see however many women you can get. I remember even in high school, it was the joke of guys that I went to school with of keeping track of how many girls that they could sleep with while they were in high school. Studies are showing now that pornography is affecting children, even as young as age 11, who are seeing pornographic images brought to them on the internet. We are certainly having children and young teens and boys who are faced with issues today that they've never been faced with before. And we have got to stand up and combat specifically this, what I believe is the devil's number one tool against men in our own time. He will continue to use pornography and pornographic addiction to draw us further away from Jesus Christ. And so that's why it's so important, again, as I was saying earlier, that we guard our minds, that we guard our senses. And how do we do this? First and foremost, you cannot battle the evil one. You cannot battle Satan in this battle against internet porn if you are not praying daily. That means going out and finding that specific form of prayer which speaks to you and helps you to conquer this evil. As I was noting earlier, you can simply drive down the highway and see signs that point to visiting cabarets and gentlemen's clubs and adult video stores. Too often, we indulge our senses. When's the last time that you watched television and were inundated with scantily clad women and images of practically pornographic softcore porn commercials on primetime television? If you watch any of these cable channels after 9 p.m., you're certainly going to be inundated with these hotlines to call for sexual gratification at a price. But we are called as men to specifically guard our eyes, our hearts, and our thoughts. And what does that mean? Whenever we see one of these ads, first of all, remember we pray for the individual who is involved in this. It's been said that we're all familiar with Pamela Anderson, the famous actress, Playboy, centerfold who turned actress. It was said the first time that she posed nude for Playboy that she cried uncontrollably. Many women are forced into this trade, and those who do it freely don't know what they're getting into. And so we must first of all pray for that individual. Because remember, every woman out there is someone's daughter and possibly someone's husband, someone's future wife. So someone out there is indeed, they are indeed children of God. And so we have to remember that as we see these things. Second of all, we have to guard our mind and thoughts, because one of the problems with pornography and pornography addiction is that it gets ingrained in your mind, and those images are very, very difficult to get away. And so we have to pray. One of the things that I have found works for me personally is when you're tempted by something, maybe it's a billboard, or maybe it's the simple thought of Satan trying to tempt you with lust coming into your mind, I simply pray a quick, "Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you," and the Divine Mercy Chaplet. That combined with the rosary, the devil cannot overcome the tools which God has given us. God's grace is there for us who want it. If we want to receive it, God will assist us. But we have to be willing. We have to be willing to take those magazines that are in the drawer. We have to be willing to take those CD-ROMs, those DVD movies. We have to be willing to take all of those things and destroy them. We have to be willing to cleanse our computers of whatever images we've downloaded. We have to be willing to give up completely. And that's something that is very difficult for us. We have to realize that when we walk into the confessional and ask God's forgiveness for this sin, it's not simply, I'm sorry now, but later I'm going to engage in whatever I want to engage in. No, we have to walk and again receive the sacrament of confession often. When you fall, go to confession as soon as possible. Waiting 3 weeks, a month is absurd. If you were physically ill, you wouldn't wait 3 weeks or a month to go see a doctor. So why do we wait and not go to the sacrament of confession? Another big issue for men. No, we have to readily go to the divine physician when we fall. We have to go to the divine physician and seek forgiveness and ultimately really commit ourselves to freeing ourselves and asking God's mercy on us and allowing Him to heal us. If we do not commit, we shall never overcome this sin. And ultimately, while we all know that this is something that is very difficult for men, and in some instances, it may be something that some of us will struggle with for a lifetime, even if you are able, and through the mercy of God, it is possible to never view pornography again, to give it up completely. It may be that God will give us the cross for the rest of our lives of struggling with these temptations on a constant basis. But the question is, are we ready and are we willing to accept the cross? Are we willing to undergo the purification that is needed, that is necessary for us to rid this from our lives? I think ultimately, men, all of us, share something in common, that we know that we are sinful, but too often for men, it's difficult to recognize that sinfulness and to freely admit it because, again, of what we're taught as young boys by secular mainstream media, that to be macho means to live as you want to live. And so that's the reason why it's difficult. We see men not going to confession. That's why we don't see men going to Mass. That's why we don't see men praying. That's why we see men who abandon their children, who abandon their wives, and think sexual gratification is simply an ends and means to itself. If men would stand together and fight for this in the United States, fight against this, we could rid this from our country. I'm absolutely convinced in it. We look at the last presidential election. If every Catholic in the United States had voted pro-life, a pro-life candidate would have been elected. If every Catholic man in this country would stand up against internet pornography, we could rid pornography from our country. I am convinced we could have it outlawed. We could make it illegal. But too often, again, we are convinced by the secular media. And too often, we don't want to really convert. We say we want to, I guess, sometimes. And I think some people really do. And I pray that we really want to turn our hearts to God. But how many times do individuals engage in these kind of actions and simply go into the confessional and then do it over and over and over and over again with no qualms about it? Yes, there's true that individuals do fall. It is possible to fall and to struggle with this. But it's something we have to really fight. We have to call upon the names of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. We have to ask the assistance of the Blessed Mother. We have to pray to Jesus Christ to rid us and to help us. Because ultimately, if we as men can love our brides as Jesus Christ loved the church, we will gain that much closer to the heavenly feast, not so much for ourselves, but for our brides as well. And as Father Chavez talked about earlier, remember, it is our sons who will look up to us as examples of how to treat women. It will be we as fathers who our sons look to as the model of what it means to be a man. And what will he see in us? Will he see a man who has fought against the sin of internet pornography? I was talking with an individual who told me he went up, amazingly, his son went to him and told him, and he said, told him, "Father, I struggle with lust and I struggle with all of these things." And you know what that father did? He told him, "You know what, son? Let's battle this together." He says, for Lent, every Tuesday and Thursday, I will fast on a Tuesday and Thursday, I will fast on bread and water that you may overcome this. How many men are willing to commit to sacrificing prayer and fasting, not only for ourselves, but for our sons and for this sin to be rid of the world? Ultimately, gentlemen, this is where we're at. Do we want to continue living as children of darkness, engaging in those things which Satan wants us to engage in, or do we want to turn our lives to Jesus Christ? Do we want to truly give it up for the love of God? Do we want to be men of spirituality and men of prayer, rather than men who live in the shadows and men who live in shame for this sin, which I know strikes so many men? Let us pray really quickly in a prayer that was composed actually by Father John Zolsdorf, affectionately known as Father Z, on the internet, that's available from the Catholic Underground. We've made it into a mouse pad. So let's pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, amen. Almighty and ever-living God, you created us in your own image and likeness and made us to seek after only that which is good, holy, true, and beautiful, especially in the divine person of your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Grant, we beseech thee, that through the intercession of Saint Isidore, Bishop and Doctor, that during our journeys on the internet, we may direct our hands and eyes only to that which is pleasing to you and treat with charity and patience all the souls whom we encounter. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you.